fast asleep. This happens all the time, everywhere in the multiverse, even on cold planets awash with liquid methane. No one knows why it is, but in any group of employed individuals, the only naturally early riser is always the office manager, who will always leave reproachful little notes, or as it might be engraved helium crystals, on the desks of their subordinates. In fact, the only place this does not happen very often is the world Xyrix. And this is only because Xyrix has 18 suns, and it is only possible to be an early riser there once every 1,789.6 years. But even then, once every 1,789.6 years, resonating to some strange universal signal, small-minded employers slither down to the office with a tentacle full of small, reproachful, etched, frimped shells at the ready. Today, however, he had something else on his mind, more or less literally. It was round. There was a healthy growth all around it. He could swear it hadn't been there yesterday. He turned his head this way and that, squinting at the reflection in the mirror of the other mirror he was holding above his head. The next member of staff to wake up after Ridcully and the librarian was the bursar. Not because he was a naturally early riser, but because by around 10 o'clock the Arch-Chancellor's very limited supply of patience came to an end, and he would stand at the bottom of the stairs and shout, "Bursar!" until the bursar appeared. In fact, it happened so often that the bursar, a natural neurovore, he lived on his nerves, frequently found that he'd got up and dressed himself in his sleep several minutes before the bellow. On this occasion he was upright and fully clothed, and halfway to the door before his eyes snapped open. Ridcully never wasted time on small talk. It was always large talk or nothing. "Yes, Arch-Chancellor," said the bursar, glumly. The Arch-Chancellor removed his hat.
"What about this, then?" he demanded.
What, Arch-Chancellor?"
"This, man, this!"
Close to panic, the bursar stared desperately at the top of Ridcully's head.
"The what? Oh! The bald spot?"
"I have not got a bald spot."
Then...
"I mean, it wasn't there yesterday."
Oh, well...
At a certain point, something always snapped inside the bursar, and he couldn't stop himself.
"Of course, these things do happen, and my grandfather always swore by a mixture of honey and horse manure. He rubbed it on every day.
I'm not going bald."
A tick started to dance across the bursar's face. The words started to come out by themselves without the apparent intervention of his brain.
"And then he got this device with a glass rod, and you rubbed it with a silk cloth, and..."
"I mean, it's ridiculous. My family have never gone bald, except for one of my aunts.
And then he'd collect morning dew and wash his head, and...
Ridcully subsided. He was not an unkind man.
"What are you taking for it at the moment?" he muttered.
Dried,
stuttered the bursar.
"The old dried frog pills, right? Left-hand pocket? Okay, right.
Swallow."
They stared at one another for a moment. The bursar sagged.
"Much better now, Arch-Chancellor, thank you."
"Something's definitely happening, bursar. I can feel it in my water."
"Anything you say, Arch-Chancellor."
"Bursar?"
"Yes, Arch-Chancellor."
"You ain't a member of some secret society or something, are you?"
"Me? No, Arch-Chancellor."
"Then it'd be a damn good idea to take your underpants off your head."
"Know him?" said Granny Weatherwax.
Nanny Ogg knew everyone in Lancre, even the forlorn thing on the bracken.
"It's William Scrop from over Slice way," she said. "One of three brothers. He married that Palliard girl, remember? The one with the air-cooled teeth."
"I hope the poor woman's got some respectable black clothes," said Granny Weatherwax.
"Looks like he's been stabbed," said Nanny.
She turned the body over gently but firmly. Corpses, as such, didn't worry her. Witches generally act as layers out of the dead as well as midwives. There were plenty of people in Lancre for whom Nanny Ogg's face had been the first and last thing they'd ever seen, which had probably made all the bit in the middle seem quite uneventful by comparison.
"Right through,"
she said. "Stabbed right through, blimey.